God, Lord, that your word says that you present us before the Father without spot nor wrinkle. And your eyes, dear God, Lord, were perfect in every way because of what you've done. That's the way the Father sees us. We thank you for that. I want you to hear that. I want you to know that, that's the way you're presented before God. He presents you. It's not what you do. It's what he does. He presents you before him without spot and without wrinkle. Come on, amen. You are perfect in all of your ways because of Jesus Christ. Amen? So focus on that. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team. Nice having the words in front of you, huh? Isn't that great? Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Chris. Finally come up with the TV. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. God is good. God is good. Amen. I know it's a little chill in here. I'm sorry. We'll get the heat on next week. If it's below 60, we need the heat on. Okay, I get it. I get it. She's like, I hope you have the heat on in the church. I'm like, sorry. Sorry. So, you know, until November, bring a jacket, right? Look, Stace. Stace got her hat on. She's ready to roll. Yeah, she's good. Air muffs. I'm good with that. Amen. Just open them up a little bit so you can hear. Amen. Well, listen, I'm not going to take up any time because this lady right here is going to share the word. Amen. She's going to bring the word tonight. Listen, she's going to be ordained as a pastor of this house too. Amen. I'm telling everybody now, she's going to get ordained. She's going to be ordained. It's a long time coming. Amen. And she has been my assistant with me through thick and thin, and she waits on God. Listen, I want you to know that, man, from the moment today it rained, so I was able to chill out a little bit. I asked her to preach because I have a men's prayer breakfast, but they canceled. She goes, "Well, does that mean you preach today?" I'm like, "Nope, it's you, baby." And because you got a word in you. And she waited on God all day today, man. And just spending time with the Lord. And she's got a deep word in her, and I appreciate her and care. She loves you guys. I can honestly say she loves you guys as much as I love you. And she shares my heart that way. And you mean the world to her. And so as she comes forward, let her know how much you love her. Amen? Come on, amen.
Good evening. I have to honor and obey my pastor when he says, "Kel, can you do it?" I don't know. There are many. I'm not saying there isn't. But there are. This man, though, goes above and beyond his call. Not only does he have a full-time job, and he takes on all this side work. People have been calling him lately. I don't know how the word gets out, but they know Chris Kaufman. They know the name, and people just pass. If people, "I need a chimney done, I need a sidewalk done, I need brick laid at my house or stone laid at my house, a fireplace." They know who to call, Chris Kaufman. So he tries to juggle it all around, and so he's had much on him. He's been doing a lot of ministering. He ministers twice a week in our house, Wednesdays and Saturday nights. Last week, we were in Fremont, Ohio with our pastors, and we had such a wonderful time with them. They are such a blessing to us, and it was nice to reconnect with them because we are connected with them, but when you haven't seen them for such a space of time or talked to them, and they are busy and we are busy, and sometimes you miss that connection. And it was nice to go and connect again to our spiritual father and mother in Ohio, and he spoke a word in that house. Wow. it was amazing, and God moved. Amen. And he touched the people there. But there are, I believe, a mandate that Pastor Chris has set upon Family Worship Center. And it started in mid-September. And the mandate of Family Worship Center is just to draw away and come closer to him. Amen. Now is the time of a drawing closer to him. Amen. It's a time to be intimate with the Father. And that was his heart. That's my heart. I ministered a week ago at Power Fit, and that was the theme even that night. I cannot get off this topic, this overwhelming sense of the urge that the God is calling us into intimacy with Him. Amen. It's like my heartbeat. I wake up in the morning. I go to bed at night when I do go to bed. I stay up late a lot. I do want to say, when I do study, we all have our times. Mine is evening. I don't know why. I just find it quiet. I can just enter in more. I'm an evening person. Morning? After midnight. Morning? takes me a while to get going. There was something I seen on Facebook. They said, I'm awake, but I'm not functioning. That's me. But it's when I get up, when I go to sleep, it keeps reverberating through us. Amen. Intimacy. I want you to come away with me. Spend time with me. Come in my presence. Amen. Because listen, that's where you will find your greatest strength. I'm telling you, that is where you will find your greatest victories. Because listen, there's turmoil out here, but in His presence, there is peace. Amen. So that is the heart. That is my whole, what God is speaking to us is just the heart of intimacy. Amen. I wrote down what intimacy is. A minister said to us many, many years ago, and it stuck with me. You know, sometimes people speak into your life and there are things that just attach itself and you never forget them. This was a God kairos moment that was spoken. I never forgot this. That intimacy is in to me see. Somebody broke that down one time. It's that God is seeing into you. Amen. It's a closeness that only you and Him can have. Amen. I know who's all married in here or going to be married. Listen, the one sitting next to you, your spouse, your significant other, there's no one that is closer than that person is to you. There's a oneness there, a closeness. Now, we share an intimacy on a different level, and I won't go there. But it's deeper than that with the Lord. It's a closeness. It's a oneness. Amen. I have to put these on once in a while when you enter that certain age. And I don't want to admit that I'm getting there. But intimacy, listen to all these things. It's a spiritual oneness, okay? It's a closeness, a close place, a private atmosphere. Ooh, a private atmosphere and deeply known. It's a place where you are deeply known. Amen. It's the experience of really knowing and being known by another. To be known on a deep level. That's what intimacy, that's what God is calling us. To be known by Him on a deep level. That He knows us. It's a two-way that He knows us. And we know Him. Amen. We cannot be intimate with a person we don't trust. You ever notice that? If I don't trust this man that is my husband and we just come in the door, hi, bye, whatever, I can never be intimate one with him if I don't trust him. So you have to trust the Father that he knows what he is doing. Amen? Trust is at the heart of intimacy. And Psalm, you don't have to go there. I just jotted these down. Psalm 73:28. For me, it is good to be near God. Did you hear that? For me, it is good to be near God. In James 4:8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. Intimacy with God is a safe place. Amen. It is a safe place. Pastor Chris has been talking about Psalm 91. Amen. Psalm 91 talks about He's our refuge, our hiding place. Come in the shelter of the Most High. That's what He wants us to come unto, that shelter, that hiding place, amen, and stay there. It's a secret place. It's a safe place, amen. God is reaching out to us, wanting and longing for us to feel closer to Him in that close, safe place, amen. And we sang that song tonight. It was so neat that He's such a good, good Father. And what kept speaking to me is, you call me deeper, deeper, deeper. And God spoke to my heart today. There's deep, and then there's deeper, and then there's deeper still. There's three. There's the holy place, the most holy place, or the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. The most holy place is where you meet God face to face. It's a threefold, amen. There's a closeness in that place, hallelujah. God wants to take us deeper and deeper than we have ever been before. And I wrote this down, I seen this. The deepest part of you wants to have a relationship with the deep part of God. That struck me. I was like, what? The deep part of you, the part that maybe you don't let others see, that sometimes you have to dig down deep to find that part of you. Amen? But the deepest part of you is wanting to have a relationship with the deep part of God. That is intimacy. And it requires intimate times of being alone with Him. Deep means extending far below the surface, descending far downward, opposed to shallow. It's hidden, it's secret, it's heartfelt, and it's intricate. You know, if they dug down into our earth's layer, and sometimes you have to go down into the core, down in to find the good stuff that's down there. It doesn't stay on the surface. You have to go down deep. Remember the movie, I think it was Apollo. Was it Apollo? Not Apollo. They were in space, and they had the drill, and they went on to, was it on the moon?
Armageddon.
Because Bruce Willis was in it. I couldn't remember, but powerful, powerful movie. Because they're up there, and they had to get this big machine and drill down to break up whatever that was, whatever, you know. But they had to go down deep. The whatever was on the surface was not going to affect it. They had to go down deep in the core of that thing to break it up. Amen? Listen, in this day and age, we're going to need a deeper closeness relationship with our Father. Hallelujah. So I believe, hallelujah, that this is the time, the hour, the day that God is calling us into deepness, oneness with Him. Amen. So listen, guys, all of us that are here tonight, you are desiring to be here, to hear a word, to come into oneness. Listen, our Friday night prayers have been amazing. Listen, God has met us in those Friday night prayers. Those of you who have been there, amen. And if you can't, that's okay, because listen, I know there's some of you work and you're busy. Listen, if you can't be there, enter in at home with us. Amen. We are one. Hallelujah. Just take a moment at home and say, you know what? I can't be at Family Worship Center, but I'm still one with the body. Amen. You can enter in yourself. Amen. There may be times that you cannot be here, but listen, as I was thinking back on our prayer, I was studying, and I said, sometimes we pray and we utter things out of our spirit that we don't even know what we are praying. And there was the one night we were over here, and people just started praying. Like one would pray and then another would pray. What was put on, it was like an utterance within them. And they would pray for somebody or people, or God, draw me closer to you. Forgive us. Amen. And it was just so powerful that in times of prayer, we don't know sometimes what we need to pray for. We don't know, because we think we're so we fleshly minded, in a sense. We come and we have our list and pray for this person and that person, and that's good. God wants us to. But there's a deeper oneness, amen. Sometimes we do not know what to pray for, but God the Father does. And when we sit in His presence, He puts utterances in us that we may not understand, and we just begin to offer it back to Him. Pray for this thing, or this move, or whatever it is. Amen. But God wants to take us far below the surface on our relationship with Him. Amen. Not a superficial relationship, but a relationship that is heartfelt, hidden, and of great depth. Amen. And then I was reminded of a tree. And we know trees and all that. But listen, you don't know the strength of a tree if the winds are just blowing and there's a storm outside. Okay, you don't know the depth of the roots of that tree until there's a hurricane force wind that is coming, and then you realize how deep the roots actually are, because in those type of winds, sometimes the tree goes, and you see a lot of hurricanes, these trees don't make it because the roots sometimes of these trees aren't deep enough. And God is, this is an example for us. It's so easy, it's so simple, but if we are not rooted and grounded deep within Him, those things out here that are blowing and the turmoil and the things that we go through can blow us over at any time. But those hurricane force winds, and sometimes those come at us as well. Amen. But it's the strength of a root deep in Him. Amen. That will give us the strength to stand. Amen. But that, when I said earlier, when Pastor Chris and I talked, that we really felt to pursue intimacy, pursue, get back to the things that really are the heart of God. And when you are pastors of a ministry, and it's a weighty calling, because you have to be continuously led. God, where are we going? God, what are you showing us? God. And this man, God has set him as a set man of Family Worship Center many, many years ago. I don't know if you know this, but it reminded me that the first Saturday of October, 2012, we started church right here. So it was what, 2012, 17, 7 years ago? 7 years ago, the first Saturday of this month, we've been at this church. And I don't think that's by chance, because I'm a numbers person, and seven is perfection and completeness. And God wants to tell us, though we may be small in number, and though we may not see this or that, God is moving. Amen. Do not forsake the small. Okay? I think Prophet Lynn Howes came through, and he says, you know what? He said a few years ago, he said, I love the meetings that I have a small group, because there's intimacy. And look around. If this place was filled, you'll not say no. Bring them in. Hallelujah. But listen, we know each other. We know everybody that's here. We have a personal relationship with everyone that is here. Amen. And that is what the Father's heart is. So don't forsake it. God is doing something. Amen. Do you feel it, church? He is doing something. I believe we've been having this time of intimacy, and God is going to move. But He is preparing a people that are hungry. God cannot move in a ministry or in a city or in a town or in a people if they are not hungry for Him. We have to be hungry for Him. We have to be thirsting for Him and waiting upon Him. Listen, I'm not here to tell you it's easy, because it's not. It is hard. Sometimes when we are busy, the hardest thing to do is sit for 5 minutes in His presence. But you know what? It is needed. It is needed. Amen. I am a firm believer that sometimes you have to carve out time in your schedule. You have to say, you know, who plans their meals from Monday through the rest of the week? Sometimes, amen. Sometimes when you do that, listen, you stay on point. And you eat what you're supposed to, because you planned that. And there's no chance for sneaking something here, or taking this, or I'm starved, but I don't know what I'm going to fix, so I'm just going to go over here and get a hamburger, you know? But just like we have time, we have to schedule in sometimes times with God. That might sound crazy, but listen, when you do this, I believe, and you keep doing it, and then it becomes a habit. And then it becomes, I want to. Listen, like, the last 3-4 weeks that we've been spending time with God, we've just been in His presence crying. And we have been finding these amazing songs that we put them on, and we're just like, and it's like waterworks. But listen, God speaks to you through His word, through His worship. Amen. So we just sit in his presence and this music is flowing and he's ministering to our hearts. So it's a time to be to give to God, to come into deeper oneness with him. Amen. And he will fill up your heart and bless your heart so you can give. Give to others. Amen. You cannot give of yourself if you don't have anything to give. We have to be filled up. Amen. But God is inviting us to go deeper, and we have to learn to say yes. Yes, God, I am here. The value of this time of going deeper with God is worth gold. It's precious. Even standing up here and talking about it, I cannot convey how precious it is until you yourself operate in that. It creates a hunger, I'm telling you. The more time that you wait upon God, amen, the more time that you get alone with him, you want to even come more, amen, that you can't wait to get home. We can't wait to get home from work and minister and wait upon him, amen. It gives you strength. You see things in a different way, amen. You have more joy, more thanksgiving, more love, amen, more compassion, hallelujah. Be grateful for it, even though it takes effort, a prioritizing of everything you do. It's a sacrifice. I'm not saying it is easy. It is a sacrifice to offer up times. Listen, if you are one of those morning people and you like your morning, carve out a time for him. Amen. If you are an evening person or maybe you don't work in your home and you can pray in the afternoon, three times a day, whatever God is calling you to do, do it. Amen. Sorry, am I going on? Pastor Chris, did you want? But our depth with God is of utmost importance. He knows what is needed and he is working intricately in our lives. Amen. But also this too, I wanted to point out, the enemy too will distract you. I'm telling you, he will pull at you, because the more you try to press into God, the more he does not want that. He will bring distractions. Amen. Like he said, resistance. He will whisper that it's not important. Spending time with God, that's not important. You know, we know God. You have everything you need, and God has called us into favor, and we have this and that. You don't need to come into his presence today, but you need it. He will tempt you with thoughts. Amen. Do you ever go and you say, I'm going to pray today, and you go and you sit down or you wait, and your phone may be going off, or your child might be crying in the other room. You have something on the stove. Or just whatever it is, you hear dogs barking. And these are little distractions. And they try to pull you away, okay? A simple dog barking, I'm telling you, sometimes you can't help things. But learn to tune out those things and say, God, being with you is more important. Amen? Being with you. When you are building depth, often you can't see anything happening on the surface. It can even feel like that all is dead and lifeless. But listen, but actually the opposite is true. Sustainable life is being built deep down where it really counts. And that's what I was saying before. Listen, it may seem that we're small, like nothing's going on. But listen, there is a shaking, because there's a people here that are hungry and that are waiting upon God. And God is going to move in that. Amen. That we are digging down, building wells, digging deep, becoming intimate with him. Listen, I believe if we are on point and hungering after God, God will bring in those who need him, and we will have something to give because we have waited upon him. Amen. We have compassion, we have love. Amen. I was studying and reading even last night, it was after midnight, and I was in my room and I was studying, and I come across that what draws people back to God. And it's not a fivefold prayer. It's not going out and saying this and doing that. You know what brings people to God? Is love. Love. Melissa, going and inviting somebody to lunch, having coffee with them, and just talking to them, amen, one-on-one, saying, hi, how you doing? What?
Walmart.
Yeah, Walmart. Just getting concerned about where they are, amen? And then a week later, call them on the phone. How you doing? I've been thinking about you. Maybe you have to do it again and again. I'm thinking about you. Write them a note. Then invite them to church. You know what? You never know where somebody is. You may bless them just by being you and just by drawing them in with who you are. And listen, if you were in God and you're digging down deep and you're spending time with Him, you do have something to give. Not just Him. We have something to give as a church. So remember that. Psalm 42, 7 and 8, it says, deep calls to the deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By the day, the Lord directs His love. At night, His song is with me. Amen. So deep calls to the deep. So I want to put a question to you. What do you think is Paul's number one ambition and purpose in his life? What do you think it was? Evangelism? Amen? Anybody? What? Oneness with the Lord? He said, Paul said, his greatest purpose in life is to know Christ. Is to know Him. To know Christ. Everything is rubbish, he said, compared to knowing Christ. There's nothing that compares to knowing Him. Programs are good. Ministry is good. Prophecy is good. All this is wonderful. Worship, they're all good. But nothing compares to knowing Him. And it's an intimacy with Him. It's okay. Just, I know God. There's a lot of people that know God. But it's a knowing Him on a deep level. He wanted to know Him better. He never stopped hungering for God. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you, it starts out, you, us, well, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. It doesn't say, you know, sometimes we think like sometimes that we're not going to pray. It's when you go to pray, when you seek me, you will find me. It's a promise. There's so many promises here that you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's a deepness there because you're seeking Him with all your heart. And here's another one. David, he was a man after God's own heart. And Pastor Chris did this 2 weeks ago in Psalm 27. He talked about a lot of things in Psalm 27. But this is Psalm 27, verse 4. He said, one thing I ask of the Lord, one thing, that this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. One thing has he inquired, one thing that he's asking, that he may dwell in the house of the Lord and all the days of his life to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Amen? That should be so powerful. If David hungered and thirsted after God, don't you think we have to hunger and thirst after God? Amen. These scriptures are given to us that we can have a pattern to follow. Because David was hungry, he's cultivating, listen, church, rise up, be hungry and thirst after me. Hallelujah. And then I want to go to Psalm 63. This is powerful too. I have so many markers, and I told my husband, I was trying to study in my kitty. He loves me so much. He was laying on my Bible, and I could not study, and I kept moving him. I even made him a bed in the chair beside me, and he wanted in my lap, and I kept putting him off, and he kept jumping up, and then he wants to chew on these little strings, and I said, Lord, is this you trying to get, like, through my, like, tell me you love me? But my Skippy John Jones. Okay, in Psalm 63, this is David again. So we'll go, oh, he's up to some, huh? Oh, one. It says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. I have so many written things here. Because the loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Listen, that's a pattern after Psalm 91, too. But I encourage you to take this and read it. Maybe sometimes we don't know how to sit and wait on God and come into his presence yet because this is all new and, you know, we know to have that oneness. But listen, sometimes you just need to open your word and say, and read a scripture and say, God, what are you trying to speak to me here? What are you trying to say? And then maybe you'll go to another one and another one. Before long, you may be at 20 minutes, a half hour in his presence, and God just spoke to you through his word. And you can get up from that spot and know that you have been spoken to. And do it again the next morning or the next night. And then again and again. And God will expound and grow and cultivate this oneness within you. But I wanted to go back to verse 3. It says, because thy loving kindness is better. And I looked up that word better, and it says it means good, pleasant, beautiful, fruitful, precious, joyful, pleasant, lovely, on and on and on. And there's so many other words, but I couldn't fit them in my Bible. That his loving kindness is better than life. And what was he saying? That the better things, the good, the pleasant, the beautiful, the fruitful, better than life, are miserable life. Not that our life is miserable, but in the times that we are weary, tired, lonely, depressed, stressed, those lifetimes, he's saying that he is better than these moments, that we need to press into him and be reminded that he is better. Amen? Because thy loving kindness is better. It's more beautiful than the lifely things that we are going through, the discouraging times, amen? That he will refresh you, hallelujah. So I just wanted to encourage you with that. But I don't know where to go because I know I'm going long. But I believe that no other pursuit is more valuable than having a deep, intimate walk with him. There's nothing that will satisfy you more than just being in his presence. I'm telling you, there's worship, there's times of you know, sometimes we sing and wait on God, but just having that intimacy. Listen, sometimes there are people that come into his presence. Do you know they sing their prayers? Do you know they come and they offer up a song? And if that's how you get intimate with God, then that's amazing. Amen. Or you may come and just read scriptures or offer up your heart. Sit still, amen, before him. There's no right or wrong way to wait on God. It's just what he is calling you to I'm challenging us to come into a more deeper, you know, you may start out deep and God will take you deeper and then there's deeper still. Amen. Because it'll cause a hunger. Hallelujah. And then I'm just going to just go here real quick because this was really been put on my heart at the beginning of the week. And Pastor Chris talks briefly about this in one of his sermons. And this is so beautiful because everything that God has been showing me, he's already talked about too. I mean, if that is not the avenue that God is speaking to us, I don't, because he speaks sometimes twos, you know, speaks doubly. There's a witness to what is being spoken. Amen. But the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you know, the Garden of Gethsemane is where Jesus went to pray. And it's a very, very, I mean, they read a lot at Easter, and it means a lot because it was right before Jesus' resurrection. And he was saying, not my will, but yours be done. Sometimes we have to say that. Not my will, not what I want to do, but what you want, God. And Gethsemane means oil press. It means Greek, and it speaks of a garden, an enclosed piece of ground. And I was reading about it, and they said there are several groups that have went there, and they actually went into this enclosed type of garden, and they believe that's where Jesus had his moments of prayer. They can't be quite 100%, but they believe that this was an enclosed piece, a hidden area, and they believe that's where Jesus had this, you know, where he entered in to this prayer. And it says, you don't have to go there, John 18:1, when he finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Amen? So we have to go into it. And this is amazing. Jesus spent one of the most important times of his life in the Olive Garden. We think, and I was telling Pastor Chris, I said, we think sometimes that the cross, what he did at the cross was the most important spectacle of what he did. But this, I believe, was the most powerful, important, amazing aspect of Jesus. That when he prayed, amen, this was a powerful prayer. And Pastor Chris spoke on it a few weeks ago. But I don't know if you know, olives go through three pressings. And to remove every ounce of oil, three pressings. And we know that in this prayer, Jesus prayed three times. Three times he asked his heavenly Father, let this cup pass from me. And like an olive in the press, Jesus was being crushed by the weight. And he even said, the crushing weight was so severe that he sweated blood, like Pastor Chris said a few weeks ago, that what was upon him, the weight of the crushing was so intense that he sweated like drops of blood. And I looked at that and I'm like, well, how, you know. And they said when people are under intense stress and pressure, what can come out of them can be like a wound. And it can be like a form of like, and it was like blood. And he was in such turmoil and agony because of the weight that was on him. But he never swayed. He never wavered. He asked the Lord, if there be any way, take this cup from me. If there be any way. And we all know, I won't even go there for lack of time, but we all know that the Lord did send an angel. And listen, the angel strengthened him and comforted him through his times of agony, through his times of crushing. But he kept the course because we knew what had to come. We knew what had to take place. And But here's what where Pastor Chris touched on too. But Jesus asked his closest disciples, we all know Peter, James, and John went with him, his three closest disciples, okay? And they went with him. And he even said it, when he was a stone's throw away, he went off by himself to pray. And this is when he had his most intense time of prayer. That he prayed before, because he knew what was before him. He knew, amen. And what did they do? They fell asleep. And he came back to them and he said, watch and pray. And then he went back again and entered back into prayer. And he came back again and they were asleep. And he did this one more time, a third time. And he said, watch and pray. But you know what I believe? Why it was so agonizing? He was interceding for them that couldn't. They for whatever reason, they were tired. It was late. They said at this time it was like a midnight hour. For whatever reason, they couldn't stay awake. Listen, there are going to be people that cannot enter in and stay awake in this hour. And we have to enter in for them. We have to pray, even though it's hard for us. We have to have that heart, amen, that we are not going to give up because they may be over here doing their thing. We cannot get down or discouraged because this one isn't. We can just say, watch and pray. Come on. But they may do what they do. But we have to be called to be hungry enough to keep going, keep entering, keep praying. Amen. We will all go through all of presses. Those times of crushing in our lives, feelings of crushing and pressing situations and circumstances. But God is calling us to watch and to pray during those times. That's where you get the victory, when we pray and come into a deep, close relationship with Him. Amen. That they won't overtake you. We must remember that it is in the crushing that brings out the true inner value and worth of the olive, which is the oil. And some of us, I'm here to tell you, are in a crushing season. You are. And listen, there's some of us, because we have said, I want a deeper relationship, a walk with God. They have come into agreement with us. Amen. They're going through hell. I know a couple of our body members that are just literally going through turmoil. And because sometimes when you are going through turmoil and when you are going through a crushing time, amen, you run. But God is saying, stay in my presence. Stay, hallelujah, that I will bless you. I will lift you up. I will strengthen you through, amen. Stay. But Gethsemane shows that God speaks to us even in the crushing. The Father sent an angel to strengthen Jesus. He will send strength to you in these times. Hallelujah. And here I am here to tell you, the oil is inside of you. The oil is inside of you. Do not look for it anywhere else. It is inside of you. Do not buy it. Do not try to get it some other way. It is inside of you, because it's the times when you wait upon Him and the deep intimacy with Him, it creates that crushing. And the oil is inside of you, and it will bring a strength to you, and it will release you from those turmoil and the things that you are going through. I don't know where I was going with that, but it's inside of you. And I'm just going to leave you with these two scriptures, and I will finish up. I guess one scripture, but they're in two different versions, so you don't have to bring them up unless you have them. Matthew 6:6. And this is the New King James Version, which I liked. And Matthew 6:6 says, but you, there it is again, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And we always think, like, that's so weird. We have to go in our room and shut the door. But there's a purpose to this, okay? When you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Did he? Ooh. Oh, that King James Version? Do you have New King James Version? Is what I just read. But the Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret shall and will reward you openly. Will reward you openly. Amen. And here it is in the Message, just a different way. So if you have the message, you can go that way too. But I found these two, they say it different ways, so it kind of speaks to you differently. But here it is, Matthew 6:6, so the Message. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. And I'm like, what? And And do you know what role play is? Just going through the motions. That you show up, you might have prayer, but you're not really in that secret place of oneness. That you were just role playing, going through the oneness, and I'm just going to pray for a second here and go on with my day. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play, to just go through the motions. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. This really spoke to me. It's one-on-one. Be there as simply and as honestly as you can come. Amen? The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. Just stay in that place. Amen? Just stay there. God shows up. Find your place, your alone time with God. Seek it out. Amen? So my heart and Pastor Chris's heart is to find that level you can go deeper with Him. Amen? Cultivate it. Stir it up. Hallelujah. I believe, we believe, that that will be the effectiveness of Family Worship Center. When we all come into agreement and we are all flowing with our Heavenly Father, then God can move in our midst. Amen? So, Pastor Chris, if you have anything, I know you have.
That is the heart. Listen, I want you to know that here's the thing, is our heart, this is our heart. This is what was deep within us, is that everybody enters into an intimacy with God. That's all this is about. That's everything it's about. She said there, the scripture says about the waves billing over. I want you to know that here's the thing. Once you get caught in the undertow of the ocean, have you ever been in that place where you hear about it all the time, that people get caught in the current of that wave? Once you get beyond the shore, you get outside of that place of safety, and you get into that place that's in the current of the flow of God, that you can't help but flow with it. Come on. You can't control it, and you can't get out of it. Come on, I want you to see that that's where God wants you to be, whether you are not in control, but God is. Kind of. He wants you to know Him that way, and that's powerful. And when you know God that way, there's overflow out of your lives. God told us a month and a half before we began to seek us, and God said that overflow, prepare for overflow. Overflow. It kept coming to my ear. I was like, God, how do we do that? How do we do that? What do we do? I want you to know this is it right here. There's no overflow, come on, without intimacy. There's no overflow. Come on. We don't produce anything outside of intimacy, and that's number one priority in this house. We're going to end this with a song. So I just want you just to take hold of the song, listen to the words, and it's going to touch your heart. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Listen, His intimacy for you, He wants you to know Him like He knows you, like He wants to know you, like He knows you, the intimacy. And I began to think about how that when Jesus was on the cross, before He went to the cross, when He prayed in that place, He was longing for intimacy with you. And even though His disciples, every one of them deserted Him, I began to think everybody, as He was standing on the cross, there was only so many people that were there in that place, pressing in. Think about this. Even Lazarus, who He raised from the dead, the blind man, the leper, all those people that were released from this bondage in all these places weren't standing there. But he went to the cross anyways because he longed for you to know him like he loves you. That's his heart. I want to know nothing else matters. I'm going to tell you something. He's the answer for everything we long for. Everything. Our marriages, come on, our workplace, our joy, our peace. It's Jesus. When you seek him, out of that intimacy comes your answers. I'm telling you, everything, 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 everything. I'm going to tell you, that's a dangerous place to be, because when you know that, I'm going to tell you, victory begins to break loose. Break loose. Come on. It breaks loose. Come on. It breaks chains. It loosens things. Come on. Amen. It loosens. And there's pressure on us. Come on. Not to break through. Because you know why? Because victory. Come on. There's people that can't find their victory, but God has put it in our hearts to get intimate with him. To press in anyways. To press into that place. And when we do, breakthrough comes. Come on. There's some people that can't come and pray. There's some people that are asleep. Come on. They're not awake to the intimacy of coming in. But I'm going to tell you, God's placed it on our hearts. Amen. And we're going to lift up and we're going to press in. We're going to declare, God, awake them, let them arise and shine, and let your glory come forth, that they know God in an intimate place. Bless the Lord. Come on, bring a friend Saturday night. Love you. Thank you for coming. Great job, Kelly.